Welcome, everybody, to the Eternal Beta Podcast Christmas special episode.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
We're a non-religious podcast, just for the record, but we thought it was this time of year. It's our last chance to do a podcast all together.
Yep.
So we have, for one of the first times in a long time, Mr. Luke.
Yeah, hello.
Mr. Corey.
Hello.
Mike.
Yep.
Andrew.
Hello.
And TV Dave.
Yes, I am a Jedi, Steve.
He's a Jedi.
So I thought it wasn't a religious podcast. But apparently it is.
Only Jedis?
I'm pescatarian.
Pescatarian? But not.
You mean. I just pray to fish. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How's it going for you?
With the fishes, Troy McClure style.
Ooh.
Do you have a season pass to SeaWorld?
So there's going to be a lot of banter on this week's app. There's going to be a lot of bullshit, so strap in. Strap on. We're going to kick off this episode with a game, Mike.
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous.
It's not an actual video game,
no.
But
it's the return
sort of, game
of
show.
What we're not allowed to call it.
We're
going to call it EB. We're going to call it Eternal Beta Jeopardy.
How do you get kill streaks?
You go home and you look at your Tinder. Yeah. We all know that you're pretty good
and
at it.
And you call that a kill streak?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
All right, so if it's not readily apparent, it's going to be in-joke central all episode. So good luck, listener. Try and keep up.
All right. The listeners have been following.
Yeah, so, Mike,
let's go
take
to it.
Away.
All right.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Eternal Beta Jeopardy. Tonight, we will have four contestants, Luke, Corey, Dave, and Andrew. Your five categories for tonight are, one, name this game, video game movies, 2016 milestones in game, games by character, and devs by games, where you'll be given the game and you've got to decide what the dev is. Are we all ready to play? We all understand the rules?
Yes.
Yes.
Father's ready?
Yes. Yep.
I'm just going to turn off the sound.
Should we test our buzzers first?
Yeah, just quickly. Luke, Corey, Andrew, and TV Dave. All right. Well, okay, Luke, you're the youngest, so you get to pick the first category if you'd like and the price.
Let's go 300 video game movies.
What the fuck? Who starts at 300, Luke?
Luke does, let's go.
Okay.
He thinks the movie's 300, just don't.
This 2016 film yet to be released follows the exploits of the Templar Order during the Spanish Inquisition. And Corey!
Assassin's Creed.
And Corey is correct. Corey for 300 points.
Yeah, what up?
Corey snipes the first.
All right, so
you get to pick a category.
You have to answer it in the form of a question.
No, you can be cool.
I want video game movies for 100 because I like to start at numerical order.
$100, and Steve's on scoreboard. Just remember, this animated movie was based on a popular app containing creatures from the class of Avis and Mammalia.
Came out this year.
Yeah, based on
and
an
it's
app.
Based on an app.
I've given you a lot of clues there, Luke. And was that Luke?
Angry Birds.
Angry Birds is correct.
Yes.
Luke for $100.
Are they called Avis and Mammalia and they're birds?
They're from the class, retard.
They're from the class Avis and Mammalia. Mammalia. Is that what their net character names are?
No, Mammalia, mammals.
Like birds and then...
Is there a romantic scene between Angry Birds?
I haven't seen it.
Do they have angry sex?
Probably.
Luke.
Really angry sex.
Your pick category.
2016 milestones,
$100. 2016 milestones, $100. This game franchise celebrated their 20th anniversary and released Sun and Moon version. Oh, Luke.
Pokemon.
Pokemon. And Luke gets the $100.
Nice.
That's
nice.
A serious challenge for me.
This kid's going to get them all. It's got to catch
Luke.
All.
Again, me. Let's go devs by games,
$200.
$200.
Why not?
All over the board. Luke, I made Watch Dogs 2. Luke.
Is it Naughty Dog?
Okay, I was going to say, with the devs,
Naughty Dog.
If you get it close enough, it's yours. And he's wrong. Minus 200 for Luke.
Fuck.
No, you can't.
Ubisoft, no. Fuck.
It's Ubisoft Montreal. Oh.
Hang on. Ubisoft is the publisher, isn't that
no,
right?
No, it's the dev. I looked
Shit.
It up.
Shit, all right, thanks.
Oh, he looked it up. Research. Mm.
Okay, so the board is
Unlike
still Luke's because he got it wrong.
Oh. Okay, name this game 100.
Name this game for 100. All right, I'm going to read off the clue. Are you ready? This game was released in October 2016 for PC. It was developed by... Fair Access Games, published by 2K Games.
What is Civ 6?
And that is correct. For $100. Andrew with $100.
This game's rigged.
Name
Andrew,
this game for $200.
Name this game for $200. All right, and the clue is... Stop looking at my fucking questions, Corey. This is it for everyone. Team-based, multiplayer, first-person shooter released in May of 2016.
Just for missing about the 80s.
And Dave.
Is it Overwatch?
That is correct. Dave for 200.
That was really easy shooter. Yeah. There's only like one team-based shooter at that point that's popular.
Yeah. That's why it's only worth 200. Dave, the board is yours.
Video game movies for 200, please.
Oh, 200. Nope. For $200. This film was based on the mythical world of Azeroth. I think Corey was in there. Would you all agree?
Oh, lagged.
World of Warcraft.
Corey's got it.
Yeah.
For 200.
Yeah.
Shit.
Okay.
I've got latency issues, mate.
Oh, latency issues. Lag. It's lag.
Just yell out your name. Just go, Andrew.
We've got the NBN here. You've really got dial.
Was that 200, sorry?
That was 200.
For 200. Corey.
For Corey.
I need to get co-location. Come on.
Corey, the board is yours.
I want video game movies for 400.
What film franchise set to finish in 2017 with the final chapter involves Corey in there?
Resident Evil.
Corey's got it for 400.
Much better than the final solution, I guess.
I want video game movies for 500.
We might just move on from that.
Oh,
it's a daily double.
Daily double.
How many points has Corey got right now?
He is currently sitting on 900 points.
So you can bet as many points as you want. You can bet 900 or you can bet a dollar. How much you want to
do
bet?
Do I lose? What do you mean?
If you get it wrong, you lose that amount you wager. If you get it right, you get that amount that you wager.
Whoa.
And you're the only one that
go
can
for
answer
it.
This.
Go for
broke.
Yep.
No, because then I'll just go zero.
We'll bet 200.
That's what we're hoping for.
We'll bet 100.
I want to bet just 100. It's going to bet 100.
Okay, he's going to bet 100. And this is only for Corey. Corey, this is only for you.
Okay.
This 2016 indie walking sim game developed by Campo Santo is being adapted into a major motion picture film.
Indie walking sim game?
Yeah.
Do we get it if he can't get it?
No, it's only him. Corey, you're the only one can answer.
Oh, no. It's that... Is it Firewatch?
Oh, my God. Corey got it, bro.
Nice one.
I didn't think anyone would get that.
I like the subtle stab.
Because I was just trying to think of an indie walking sim game that came out.
A walking sim, yeah.
I was going to say you're on fire, but I think they might give it away.
So wait, do I get 500 plus?
No, you only got 100.
Oh, that's shit. That's
imagine
you could have
got
900.
No, because like I could have bet 900. About that.
Mate.
Well, why is it called a daily double if you only get like 100?
Well, no, he could have bet more money, but he decided not to risk it because he's a pussy.
So I got 200?
So you got 100.
But I bet 100.
You wagered 100. You could have wagered 900.
I feel like this. You fucked up.
This is.
Yeah,
so you're on 1,000 points, okay?
Descending into five.
Okay.
Your Corey, closest competitor is currently Dave on 200.
Oh, shit.
Luke's on zero.
What's Luke on?
He got minus 200 for getting him wrong, so he's back to zero. Okay. And Andrew's on 100.
All right. I want to video game movies 1,000.
Oh, shit.
Here we
head
go.
Category.
He's just going for the kill.
This indie horror game in which a security guard will fight animatronic animals.
Oh, fuck.
Corey.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
And he's got it.
Oh, fucking idiot.
They doing a Freddy's movie, are they?
They're adapting it.
This is so good. Oh, I love it.
You can hire a Russian tutor.
I love winning.
Take down that movie.
Is that out yet? When's that coming
out?
No,
it's coming out next year. It's in development.
Oh, this next year. We can't. I
did Assassin's Creed. Yeah. That's not out, so you can all shut up.
Was that is Five Nights at Freddy's a PC game?
Corey, we scratched both of those points. Perfectly fine.
This is mad. This is so good.
Next quarter,
sit out for the rest of the game.
1,000.
What platform was that on?
Yeah.
What?
Five Nights at Freddy's.
PC.
Oh,
yeah.
An iPad, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, a lot of things.
No, but trust me, I'm going to forget all these other
things. Wow, okay, video game movies is off the board.
Yes, yeah, so that's done.
So who's going?
Go, Corey.
Oh, okay. I want to go name this game for 300.
Name this game for 300. Okay.
Get ready, guys.
Okay, listen to my cues. This is a first-person shooter game released in October of this year. It is the 15th installment, and it's...
Battlefield 1.
Luke has got it.
Oh, no.
Battlefield 1.
For 300.
Luke, the board is yours.
Oh, Devs by Games, $100.
Yeah, Devs by Games for 100. So I give you the game, you'll give me the dev. Remember, you've got to get... I'll give it to you if you get, like, at least one of the words in the dev thing. You don't have to get, like, Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so it's Ubisoft.
I made The Witcher 3. That was Luke...
CD Projekt Red.
Holy shit, he got the real, full name.
Yeah.
I would have taken Projekt Red.
Would you have taken CD?
It does not.
You got it wrong.
Because you can't see this on the board. He's got it as CD Projekt, but like not with a K in it. So Michael's like technically. Yeah.
That was autocorrect in word.
Michael's technically.
Okay.
Yeah.
I doubt the integrity of the rest of the quiz.
Get us to spell it, Michael. Get us to spell it.
You know you guys can bring in before I finish the question as well.
Well, we don't know the answer, so probably not.
Devs by Games, $300.
I mean, probably we should be able to buzz in after you finish the question, but I can't bring that in now, can I?
Okay.
No.
Luke, what did you want?
Devs by Games,
$300. Devs by Games for $300.
Luke's really going for it.
I made Mafia 3. I've got to look this one up. Yeah, Luke, go.
Luke, you're going to lose points.
I think I'm going to have to lose points. I had a little twitch.
Don't do this to you, Luke. Don't do this to yourself.
Luke, what is it?
Take a guess.
Say as slow as you want.
Sony.
Oh, Lucas wrong, so minus 300.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, was it
2K?
2K.
No, it was 2K check.
It was 2K.
Would then you have taken 2K?
What? Yeah, I would have taken 2K. All right.
Damn, Luke, you're back
still,
to 100.
You're still in charge of the board.
Games by character 100.
Games by character 100. So I'll give you the character, you give me the game.
Okay.
The character Reinhardt.
Overwatch.
That's it.
Really?
Four extra 100.
I'm going to make the question harder.
I'm glad I didn't know
it's
that
It's $100.
One.
Believe me, the 1,000 is harder.
You play Overwatch?
No, I don't. I want to play it, but I want to get into it.
Dirty Bomb or nothing on this podcast.
Yeah, let's be honest. You're not going to play Overwatch.
Games by character, 200.
Okay. The character of Geralt of Rivia.
Oh, I think Andrew got him first.
The Witcher 3.
Yep.
And it's Geralt, not Geralt.
I said Geralt, didn't I?
No,
you're getting so
Geralt.
Shit wrong today, man.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Our host is.
Do you know how long this took
wrong.
Me to make?
I'm winning, and I think this
no,
is
No, we
wrong.
Don't care. We just care about your pronunciation.
That was Andrew for 200. Yes.
This is one of the best Flash creations I've ever seen.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Games by character for 300, Mike.
For 300. The character, Bushwhacker. Oh, Luke.
Bushwhacker.
It's not what you do in the bush.
Shit.
It's not called the game either.
My app crashed. Screw you.
Multiplayer game, isn't it? Bushwhacker. All right, I pass.
Can't pass. You lose, right?
You lose.
Yeah, I lose. That's what I mean.
It was Dirty Bomb.
Yeah.
I should have known this.
Dirty Bomb. We didn't buzz in quick enough, did
Andrew,
you?
Andrew, your pick again.
Games by character for 400, Mike.
For 400. Character, JD Phoenix. It released this year.
Can I go in the Phoenix. Negative?
If someone's got a buzz.
Can I go in negative?
Or you can go, no. If you don't buzz, it just rings out.
I'll try for Dishonored.
No.
Gears of War 4.
What?
Gears of War.
Gears of War 4.
Really?
I'm Phoenix. I'm not even playing, so I won't claim
it's
that.
It's Phoenix or Phoenix or...
Is it Marcus Phoenix or is it like his
brother? No, this is his son, JD Phoenix. So I would have only accepted Gears of War 4.
Son, like, he didn't even learn from his dad after his dad died.
All right, Andrew,
Games by character for 500, Mike.
Okay. Daily Double!
Woo!
Okay. How many points is...
Andrew, you currently have 300 points.
Okay.
I'll bet 150 points.
Oh. Really? Here's the economist.
150, and this is the only for you.
Right.
Only
games for you. By character, right?
A soldier set in France in the Harlem Hellfighters. Ooh.
What is Company of Heroes?
Oh, no. It was Battlefield 1.
You knew that's my weakness, first-person shooters. Why didn't you ask me which one Gandhi's from? Or is that the next question?
maybe. Okay, it's your
character for 1,000. Let's
for
find
1,000.
Out. Gandhi.
The character of the Ashen One.
Just reminiscing about the 80s.
Oh, Dave.
It's Dark Souls.
Yes.
Three.
Yes. I'll give it to
him. I should have known this.
So Dave's got 1,000.
That was worth 1,000.
Dark Souls is your game. How
I know.
The fuck
I was like,
Corey.
I was like, that was Corey's name written all over.
Dave, I'm just on a high for my 2,000 points. Sorry,
choking,
guys.
Choking under pressure.
Let's go. Devs by Games for 400.
Ooh. Devs by Games for 400.
I've got this.
I made Deus Ex 3.
Just reminiscing about the
80s. Dave.
Square Enix.
I thought it was.
Sony.
No.
We
got it wrong.
You need a
Etios Montreal.
Oh, that's a trick question, man. That's
you need
so,
a duck buzzer mic.
Yours? Do it.
Michael, yours?
Why? What did I do?
You're so sneaky. You don't know the names of the games.
No, I
don't. You
don't
know the names
no.
of the characters. You can't say the characters right. You're using a sheet that I can see, and I'm just...
Corey, you're winning. Do you want to come last? I will take all your points off you.
Oh, please.
So Sony published it, because I keep getting emails about buying their in-game currency for Deus Ex.
Yeah. How much?
Devs by Games for 500, please.
For 500.
Let's see if I can get it right.
I made Titanfall 2.
Ooh.
You're not going to get this.
Respawn.
Oh, shit, Corey, he's on fire.
How did you not? Yeah. How did you, like...
Well, no one knows who made Titanfall.
I bought Titanfall 2. It's really good.
I know, I just didn't think
he'd know
really
good.
Just
not
I just didn't think he would know the dev. Corey must be out in the front by a lot.
We're about 70% through... The game, maybe?
Yeah, no, we're like 80%.
We're plowing through it.
Plowing it. It's ready to plow.
Okay, you're ready to pick plow. Of the board.
Mr. Plow. I want 2016 milestones for 200.
Ooh. Oh.
Scared of the 1,000, I can tell.
Okay. Which was the first VR hardware to market?
Was it Oculus?
It was.
Yeah.
Corey, for doing
free chance. And we,
do you own one of these?
I own a Vive. Got a Vive.
Oh, where did it come from?
Oh, we don't talk about that. But what's yours, Corey?
Yeah, I want 2016 milestones for 300.
Yeah.
For 300. What game had the biggest eSport prize pool ever this year? And it was Luke on the end.
Dota 2.
Dota 2. Dota 2 with the international. Can anyone guess? I'll give another person $100.
$9 million.
No. If anyone guesses how...
27.
No.
$3 million.
No.
Five.
No. Prize pool.
I want to go... Oh. I want to say $7
million. No. $20 million, $9 million first prize.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
$20 million.
That's why Steve's not allowed not to much. Play.
All right.
So that was... Luke got that, 300.
Luke, yeah. The board's yours.
Let's go... 2016 milestones, $400.
2016... What was the Nintendo Switch referred to prior to its official release this year? Dave.
Dave, executive.
It's VX. No, Dave, it was the NX.
Shit.
That one.
And you spelled it. I was going to give you another
100
points.
Mike, you need a dud buzzer when something goes wrong. They're like...
Yeah, and it does actually do that. I turned the sound. That's really long. Luke, the board's yours.
Wait, I thought Dave got
name
it
wrong. Name
this game. Sure
400.
No, because whoever got the last one right still picks.
Gotcha.
What was it?
Name this game, $400.
Okay, I've got to read off the thing, so give me a sec.
Mike's clue.
One, two, three, four. Okay. This is a first-person shooter video game released in May of this year. It is a reboot, and it is the fourth title in the main series.
Is it Halo?
No.
Oh,
it was Doom.
Oh, that's what I was going to guess.
Oh no. Shit. I love Doom.
Yeah. So minus 400 there for Corey and the board.
So it's probably better if Corey loses points than you.
Yeah, let's make him lose
board
points.
Board is back
not
to.
Not much of a dent.
Is back to Luke.
Let's go Devs by Games 1000.
Oh, this is a big one. This is
now
a bloody big one. All right, here we go. I made Dishonored 2.
Luke. Bethesda Softworks.
Luke, they distributed it. They didn't make it. It was Arkane Studios.
Oh, shit.
That was rough.
You're minus like 3,000. You owe money to Michael now?
I owe money now, yeah.
Do you owe Michael money?
Who?
You owe money.
Yeah, you have to buy another.
That's all going. He owed me money, the stingy shit.
Okay, Luke, the board is yours.
2016 milestones,
$1,000. $1,000. We're going to skip the 500. This company celebrated their 25th year in business this year first ever game. Oh!
Interplay.
No.
Oh, shit.
It was Blizzard.
Blizzard. Oh, I lost it.
It's 1,000 minus for Andrew. Shit. Is this going to be one of these things where whoever has the least amount of money is going to win?
These questions are hard under time pressure.
Oh, I thought a second ago, Steve's like, these are so easy.
Yeah, but that's Steve.
How many have you been able to get?
The rest of us aren't as knowledgeable.
No comment.
Okay. Is it still the Luke's support?
All right, with three questions to go.
All right. Name this game, $500.
Which one are we doing?
Name this game, $500.
Okay.
Where's my daily double?
It's already been. We've had two daily doubles.
Oh, there's only two.
Okay. This is an action-adventure survival video game released in August. The gameplay is built on four pillars: exploration, survival, combat...
No Man's Sky.
Luke's got it.
Oh.
Best game of the year.
I was wondering where the clues were going to go with that one.
Okay.
Was it
you had to bring it up somehow.
Yeah.
All right, Luke, the board is yours.
Name this game, $1,000.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
I'll check my buzzer.
Okay.
Good, it still works.
All right. For everybody, this is a 3D puzzle game developed and published by THEKLA Inc.
What?
I don't know how to think. What? Think what?
Is it a real game?
Yeah, it's a real game. It was released for Microsoft, for Windows and for PlayStation 4 in January 2016. Inspired by Myst, the game involves the exploration of an open-world island filled with natural and man-made structures. Players progress by solving puzzles, which are based on interactions with mazes presented on panels around the island hidden within the environment. I have no more clues. It was an indie hit.
No, you have to... It's like each block is like a Tetris puzzle or whatever, and you have to go through each of them and...
No one wants to answer to get minus 1,000.
So,
no. Okay.
I'm going to go balls. No. Hang on. Read that last clue.
The player progresses by solving puzzles which are based on interactions with mazes presented on panels around the island hidden within the environment.
I've seen it on Steam. The Talos Principle?
No, I know what it is. I know who made it, too.
Steve, you're giving me a look like you knew what it was.
I was trying to Google it so TV Dave could look at it on my screen.
But I still didn't get there.
You're now known as a Googler.
It was The Witness, everyone. Yeah. The Witness.
I was going to say The Journey, but I was like, no, I didn't want to answer it.
It was a good idea. Oh, the minus 1,000.
Well, no, the witness one is the right one. You had a little square box puzzle thing, except Talos. So it was obviously last year, but yeah.
IGN gave it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Last question.
Okay.
IGN lore.
Are we
2016 milestones, 500.
Okay, last question. This studio founded by Peter Molyneux and Mark Weebly and the makers of the Fable game shut down in 2016 after 20 years.
I know this one. I sort of know it, but I'm not going to answer it.
They also made Black and White. They also made... pretty famous games. I can't.
Lionhead Studios.
Oh my god. Yes. Fucking.
Oh! All right, and that concludes.
All right. No, we got Final Jeopardy.
Ooh.
Okay, so Final Jeopardy is okay. I will give you the category. You've got to put down how much you want to wager. Then I'll give you the question and you have to write down your answer. I'm going to give you the category. You then have to put down your wager. If you're in the negative, you can bet up to $1,000. But if you're in the positive, you've got to bet whatever you got.
Whoa.
If you get it, and then I get, the then I go. Give you the question, and then you write down the answer.
Do I have to bet?
No, you can bet zero. That's the whole thing. It's strategy. We'll just go over the score.
I'll just give you the scores, which is Corey is on 2,900 points.
Oh,
yeah.
Luke is on minus 800.
Are you serious? Minus.
Andrew's on minus 850.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And TV Dave is on 1,200 minus 1,800.
So
minus 400. Minus 600.
Minus 600.
Oh, I didn't even have to fucking play this.
Yeah. Corey's fucking won. Yeah.
So, Corey is ahead of everyone by 3,400.
Corey, as long as you guys fucked up with the movie game ones, man. I'm the best. I watch all the movies and play games.
All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you guys the last question. And Corey's won, but whoever gets his last question, I will give something extra to.
He'll give you guys a handy. It's fine.
Yeah.
Corey,
you just got a done hand that. Job. He'll just go under the table for the rest of the talk and just like he was a handy.
All right, so I'll give you the questions. You write down your answers. Don't call them out.
The answer is no man's sky.
All right. And also, how much are you going to wager? So anywhere from... You all have 1,000 points, all right? Except for you.
Hang on, I'm just going to go quickly look at my message.
Okay, are you ready? Okay, so write down your wagers, everyone. The category is... Game devs of the past.
Ooh. Oh, it's a spanner in the works.
Or game dev of the... Yeah, that'll work. That sounds very vague enough.
It.
Game dev.
Game of past.
Okay, so have you all got your wagers down?
Yep.
And remember, you can wager nothing and you'll still have 1,000.
I'm wagering 1,000.
Okay. Wagers down? If you change them, I'll fucking kill you. All right.
Just say what your wagers are.
Are you messaging me?
Yeah, what's why hide what everyone's waging?
Because, that's the whole point.
Well, if everyone was in range, then there would be a competitive aspect to how much you would wager.
It doesn't work in a visual medium. It works in a visual medium, but not on a podcast.
We'll just say who it is. Okay. We'll just say who the winner is.
Can we just trust that everyone... So do I need to verify what everyone wrote?
No, it's cool. Just don't cheat, Luke. Luke, you got the phone. All right, here we go.
I've got you.
The question is, if this fucking thing worked... Ready?
Yes.
Okay. This powerhouse of a gaming company was first known as Silicon and Synapse. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. I don't have to answer this. I've already won. I'm invincible.
Dun, dun. And just give me a heads up when you're done.
Well, is that all the clues we're getting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good then.
Okay.
I know what I've lost.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you say who was the developer of this shitty game?
Okay, so there are a powerhouse these days. Okay. My dignity. you bet 1,000. What is Bethesda? No.
Well, that was... You said a powerhouse, and I don't know any other powerhouses. It's probably Rockstar now.
Luke, did you say anything?
No.
Oh, for fuck's sake. it was Blizzard.
I got Blizzard wrong again.
Blizzard, did you know?
My
No, okay.
I did not
well,
know
what
that.
Did they? What did they develop under that name?
Yeah. Their first game was...
Lost Vikings.
Lost Vikings was their first Blizzard title. Oh. Prior to that, they made some racing game. I think they did Rock and Roll Racing under Synapse and Silicon. All right, well, there was no secondary winner.
Hooray.
So,
no, oh, I'm a fucking winner. I get the sick, do I get the second prize as
no,
well, Michael?
No, you don't.
So no one actually had a positive score except Corey.
This is so good. I love
that's really funny because, Corey, you've only ever had negative scores in your entire life.
Hey, come on now.
Thanks for playing Eternal Beta Jeopardy.
Eternal Beta Jeopardy. Ooh, look forward to next year's
thank you, Mike.
Edition.
Thanks, guys.
Listeners, I'm sure that was enthralling.
Started this off is the fact that we were all reading like what people were publishing as game of the year or the best games of the year, and it was like, how and why? Like, and
because they've been paid off by the devs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what,
it's about ethics in game journalism. Yeah. Like.
What we're gonna do here, because we're hardly journalists at all, is we're gonna talk about what we think was the coolest thing we did all year, as in personally. What game you enjoyed, whether it was a game that...
I was going to say touched a boob, but yeah. Then we're talking about games.
I talked to a woman.
That was pretty cool.
It wasn't my mum.
It was pretty cool talking to a kid.
I went to London. That was pretty good.
So we're going
to
start with Luke. Luke, what did you play this year that you thought was fucking awesome?
Well, I enjoyed my little playthrough of Dragon Age Inquisition because I hadn't played that before. I felt that had a fun storyline to get immersed in.
Is that like...
Big open world.
Is that like Skyrim?
Yeah, it is, but more linear in a way, I guess.
So I only played the Origins. Did you play Origins?
Yep.
Did you play 2?
No, just the latest
Dragon
one.
Dragon Age 2? No, yeah.
Dragon Age Origins.
So I heard they were quite different. Anyone else played them?
No, I played a little bit of Dragon Age Inquisition. It was interesting.
That one. Is that the latest?
That's the latest that's one. Yeah.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, I played it for a little bit.
Keep up, Corey.
No, I played it for a little bit. It was pretty good. I just lost interest in it pretty quickly.
Really?
But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I don't have time for
that sort of thing.
Big heavy RPGs now.
What was the Dragon Age thing was always that your sidekick dudes were, you know, they'd interact and they'd talk about the world.
Yeah.
So that was done really well, I imagine?
Yeah, pretty well. Well, it could have been a bit better. You know, it sort of feels like there's a clock going along that's saying, oh, they haven't spoken in a while, make them speak now, rather than directly being influenced by something happening in front of you. But otherwise, yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, cool. And what made it, like, better than other games?
Of the year?
Yeah.
Well...
For you, like, why did you enjoy it so much?
Because it was a good one I could play on the weekends when I got the time.
Yeah,
and
when you didn't have plans.
Yeah, and a good relax. It was like having a movie going along over a couple of months, so that was fun.
Nice one.
Yep.
Anyone else got anything to say on Dragon Age?
How long did it take you to finish it?
Well, I haven't actually finished it.
Oh, but you still enjoy
it,
right?
Yeah, I've got about 75% of
the... Have you played The Witcher? I'm curious.
Yeah, Witcher 3, love that one.
How do you compare it to The Witcher?
Ooh, a bit more childish.
Wait, which is more childish? Dragon Age?
Sorry, yeah, Dragon Age more childish.
Yeah, because in The Witcher, he just bangs all those chicks.
Oh, you mean that way.
Pretty adult. I don't think Luke can play that.
do you have to, when combat's not as...
You don't tell your girlfriend about the adult stuff in Witcher, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just playing my games. I'm just playing my stories.
Look, a boob.
I'm just playing my stories.
Are they having sex on a unicorn? No, they're just riding it.
I'm trying to work out what to do, baby.
Yeah.
It's romantic. I swear.
Should I thrust or pull?
Yeah.
Press X to thrust. Like,
Taking notes.
Yeah. It gets me in the mood, okay?
And Luke, did you play anything that you like were really psyched for and then it just turned out to be shit? Or were you annoyed
not
by
shit,
anything?
But Battlefield 1 was a bit of a letdown.
Yes!
Wow.
Because maybe because I hyped myself up a bit too much, and then I don't know. Maybe I was expecting something different to happen just because it was a completely new setting and it was it felt new. But then as soon as I got into it, I was like, oh, hang on, it's the exact same as Battlefield 4, but with new stuff. And even though they did it super well, graphics are awesome and the guns are cool and the system is well done.
It completely sucks, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though all these things about it are so awesome.
Yeah, even though it was still the same. No, it wasn't not terrible, but it was the same as Battlefield 4. Yeah.
That's exactly what we want to hear.
He just really hates blimps.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. That's cool. Corey.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's me.
You played a lot of games this year.
Yeah.
What was your favorite experience of the year?
If you're talking experience...
Oh, well, just any game that you played, if you thought about your whole year of gaming and like what was the highlight for you?
Yeah, okay. It's going to sound... I don't know. It's going to sound pretty weird. If we're talking experiences, definitely playing with the HC Vive was obviously the highlight of my year, playing with that. I would actually argue that the accounting game that I played was really hilarious. Like, it was funny. It was like watching a Rick and Morty episode. Yeah. It was incredible. There's like a whole scene where you're like getting like judged by like the, you know, I'm not going to spoil or anything, but you're in a court scene and you have to like throw like little mini lawyers at the judge and at the jury to like get them to not like fess up with stuff. It's really funny. I found it really humorous and I actually like laughed a lot playing that game. If we're talking about like one specific game, but I would actually have to say, and I don't know, I feel like Michael's going to groan at me.
Can I guess?
You want to have a guess?
Tinder.
Dark Souls 3.
Tinder, yeah.
Tinder? It's not a game that's real life. Like,
there is any it's on Tinder.
Where's Tinder wasn't on.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. There are the most important. Yeah.
The achievement is you touch a tit. It's like weird. Like,
is there Gable Tosti Simulator?
What's that?
Ah, right. Yes, I know the reference.
It's a mad inside joke.
That's one of the ones for the players.
I don't know, actually. Titanfall 2.
Oh, Michael, you were correct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, recently just bought Titanfall 2 in like the last 2 weeks and I started playing the single player campaign and I've played a fair bit now of the multiplayer. I got Battlefield 1. I actually really enjoyed Battlefield 1, but then I went and bought Titanfall 2 and the single player is actually really good. I'd really recommend it to anybody. Like, it's great. You have like this sort of like this Titan robot that you like get an emotional connection with. I'm using air quotes. Yeah, no, but it's good. Like, it's really good. Like, it has a feeling of a mix between like, I don't know, like Half-Life 2 when you with Dog. Remember Dog, the robot? Yeah.
Yeah.
You have like that connection, but then you have like actually really like funny, like fun quirks in the game. Like, they introduced mechanics every level. Like, it's a whole new mechanic at every level. I'm not going to try and give
you. And I heard that there are things that you are like, what the fuck? Okay. Like, yeah. That's what we'll do now.
You just get used to that. Yeah. Like, they'll introduce something like brand new in the level. I don't want to give anything away because I'm not spoiling anything for people to listen.
Yeah, of course. But they're not regular video games or not things that you do all the time in video games, right?
Yeah, definitely. Kind of different. Yeah. Like, I can't. But yeah, it's all just like you'll go in a level and you'll be like, it's a completely different way to play it. And you'll be like, this is really fun. And then you'll get introduced to something else in the next level and you're interested in something else. I highly recommend people buy the game just purely for the single player. Multiplayer is
based on your recommendation.
Oh yeah, based on my recommendation.
And you'll refund them if they don't like that. Just kidding.
If they don't find it fun, they can't get a refund from me. Okay, they can't like come to me.
All right.
But I would also say the close second, but for that was Doom.
Doom
was amazing, and there's actually a three-parter documentary at the moment on YouTube. I can't remember the names of it, but if you look on Reddit, there's something about it. There's a really good like. They break down how the game came to be, the music behind it, the gameplay behind it. Yeah, I recommend anyone goes on YouTube and checks out that.
How did you find that?
I've been watching them. They're like half-hour little like docos.
You're such a nerd. They've got quite a few. How are you so popular on Tinder?
On a gaming podcast. Says the guy a nerd?
Hosting a games podcast.
I would say like if you're talking experience, Vive, amazing. But there wasn't a full game on there that I would say that stuck out.
Yep.
Otherwise, I'd say Titanfall 2.
Cool. Worst game of the year.
That you actually played.
Or worst experience you had.
Okay. Look, this isn't fair. I was very conservative with my choices on like picking games.
Yeah.
It's
okay if there wasn't one, but if anything stuck out to you as sucking that you actually.
It didn't. Tried. I wouldn't say this sucked.
Underwhelmed you.
Can I say something that was like maybe disappointing but still didn't suck? I'd still say it's like up there. I'd say it maybe got a 7 out of 10 or something like that. Dark Souls 3.
Oh.
I know. Like, I loved
it. I thought it was going to be your favorite. That was my guess for your favorite.
No. I loved it as I was playing it, but as I got to the end, I was like, this is it. This was the end. Like, it just came. It came so quickly that the game is.
That's what she said.
Hey! Luke coming out with the jokes. It's good. no, it's a lot. Oh god,
it doesn't feel as long as Dark Souls 1, does it?
No. So Dark Souls 1 had this like feeling of like imagination and discovery, and you're going through all these levels, and they're really like cleverly like done. You're also not used to how hard it is. That's another thing. That's what she said.
Bang, bang.
Just leave it. Everything, yeah, I know. But Dark Souls 2, I felt they introduced, a lot of things to it, a lot of different mechanics. And then Dark Souls 3, it's they refined it all, but they made the game super short. And even the DLC is rather short, and I played through that really quickly. I played through the game and the DLC very, very quickly, and I was just, left thinking, well, that's it. And I wasn't even bothered to go back and return for PvP. Yeah, I would say, but that's not saying it's a bad game. It's still a really good game.
Yeah, but you just thought it was going to be the best, and that turned out.
I thought it was going
to
be game of the year, and then it just didn't turn out to be.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
Andrew, what was your highlight and lowlight of the year?
Well, I think there's been a few. One of the highlights I definitely had was Hearts of Iron 4.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Out of the strategy genre, I know that it's not really popular amongst you guys, but I like World War II. I like winning World War II as the Axis, it's something that I always dreamed of. And,
I'm noticing a pattern.
That explains why you were the one to do the...
That was Steve. Steve, we're definitely...
I was trying to tell everyone to be quiet, and then these guys interpreted it as, some sort of...
That Nazi salute. Reference. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing, right? But I think it's...
Silence.
Obviously, these Paradox games, they're not super graphically intense. You've got Hearts of Iron, or you've got a Europa... Europa Universalis 4, which also has had a couple of expansions come out this year, Common Sense and Rights of Man, which are both pretty interesting. They keep adding sort of some flavour to the game. But generally what I like about these kinds of things is there's a lot of different tactics, and there's a lot of replayability because you can replay the war as some minor nation or some major nation, and you can sort of see what would happen if Poland had defended off either the Russians or the Germans in World War II.
Oh, right.
And see what might happen there.
What's the crappiest nation you can be? Australia?
Yeah.
Italy.
New Zealand.
Yeah.
Throwing some shade at the Kiwis. I mean, there is probably, out of the major ones, if you're Austria in World War II, it's not very good because, you might get annexed.
Right.
As we don't... you don't have to, though.
How does it compare against Hearts of Iron 3?
Well, a lot of people have said that Hearts of Iron 4 simplifies some of the, the real mundane mechanics, but sort of keeps the main focus of what you're looking for in a game. So it sort of does the things like you've got a factory, and the factory can produce either military, weapons or ammunition or tanks, or it can produce, civilian goods, which you can trade for things like oil or rubber with these other things, with these other countries. And there's a lot of strategy involved in terms of who you're going to form an alliance with if you need to get some materials to keep your supply lines running and so on. So, if you join the Axis, for example, you might have better access to Siamese rubber, but on the other hand, you might miss out on getting some oil. So,
Siamese rubber. Is it rubber?
Yeah. Rubber, yeah.
Rubber.
British, right. Is it just like a really smooth rubber?
At the time.
Yeah. How many pylons do you have to construct?
These Paradox games, they're probably not for everybody because they're a little bit sort of...
Super deep, right?
You've kind of got to imagine what it would be like.
It's like a role-playing thing.
Well, it's like a board game, I guess.
If you dress up while you play.
He dresses up at his computer desk and plays these games.
Yeah. Luftwaffe.
You have to shut the blinds.
You mean Throne.
Throne. Yeah. Yeah. Is Throne.
Yeah. Should we put a link in now to the sketch where Mark Webb goes to... Sorry. Mitchell
and Webb?
Mitchell and Webb, he says, hey, we're the bad guys, essentially, yes. But, I'm a total war guy, and I tried to start up Hearts of Iron 3, and I tried the beginning scenario where you play the Axis, the War Council of it, leave the politics aside in production, and it was still utterly intimidating.
Yeah, it's these things where you've got to play about 30 hours to get the learning curve up and running, and then... You can't really play any other genre of games, and then you really go, well, why is this other shit so so shallow. So I would guess it's really, you know, you have to either be a strategy gamer or okay. something else.
How does it compare to Civ 6 in order of, in terms of depth and...
Well, I mean...
Oh, really?
I mean, is it... Civ 6 is... You know, that would probably be on the list of what, you know, the next question might be as far as, you know, disappointing outcomes.
Really?
Well,
really?
Well,
I've had nothing but fun with Civ 6.
Gandhi just didn't do it for
Let's
you.
Hear it.
Hot takes, I know.
Because you were so pumped for it. Is
well,
it?
You see, the thing is, I'm a huge fan of Civilization 5, but maybe my tastes have changed and it's not anything to do with the game. It just,
right.
Civilization 6, it's like, it doesn't feel like a real, it feels like they've taken some of the boring aspects of Civilization 5 and really amped them up. You know what? One of the parts of Civilization 5 I didn't like was, oh, you've got to construct more, you've got to build workers to do shit. And now it's like, now you have to build more workers because each worker only works for 3 turns. And then that's
but you know
it.
What? I always just ended up setting my workers to fucking do auto shit. Yeah. And then there were 17 of them. And then they all disappear at some point. I never knew where they went. And then I'd end up just like with too many units and it cost me heaps of money. And then I don't know. I like this
the
system.
Workers in the old version of the
but
game.
But why?
Now.
You're not even playing at that stage. You just like automate. You know, just go and do some automatic system. Well,
it really feels like it's unfinished to me. The diplomacy is just fucking toilet.
Okay, but when has the Civ game ever come out that's like finished on launch?
I don't think
launch?
That gives you. I don't think you can go well. Oh, because Civ 5 was good, and then Civ 6 is a higher number, we can release a shitter game. I don't know. I don't really think that's... I mean, this is what strategy games do, and there's always a bit of tweaking that has to go on between when the game gets released and when it finally becomes playable. But it's currently at that stage where it's like, well, you don't have a big enough navy. I'm going to declare war on you.
Yeah. Huh?
All right, it's like logical diplomacy issues where it's like, oh, we have a hidden agenda, and our hidden agenda is we like it when you have the same government type as us.
Do you actually own the game?
Yeah, I've been playing it.
Okay.
It's shite.
I guess think about it though, right? Civ 5 took 2 expansions to get to where it was really good.
And then it was amazing. Yeah
I mean, and even Gods and Kings was kind of all right because it just introduced the religion aspect to it, so... I think you're right, though, in that Civ 6 is kind of at least 1 expansion away from being really good.
The fact that the diplomacy makes the game really very hard to play, for my mind, is what really lets it down. Like, they didn't have to make these changes that make it sort of, oh, you know, we're going to declare war on you or we're going to hate you no matter what you do because we have this agenda. And it's like, well...
I feel like that second agenda needs to be a little bit more... masked or at least not relevant until something triggers it. Like if they get pissed off with you for their core reason, maybe the second one should come into play. Something like that, like where it's not just automatic.
Well, they can sort of tweak a few numbers here to make these things more or less important, I guess. But look,
cool.
I mean,
so yeah, that's right.
I mean, these things always take a bit of time to get up and going. I mean, it's sort of trying to find the right experience for the right person who's going to play the game is what you're really looking for when you're looking at these strategy games.
Sweet.
And, you know, some people like very complex affairs, some people like moderately complex affairs, and, I mean, obviously Civilization 5 sold, you know, millions and millions of copies. So, I mean, it is, you know, tweaking it to get the balance right. Once they do that, I'm sure it'll be excellent.
Are they dumbing down Civ in order to attract more players?
They do. They definitely made the graphics look worse, if that counts for anything. But
they've always had that kind of, like, almost animation-y feel.
It looks like a Flash game. It looks worse than your Jeopardy.
I disagree that they went...
That was 2008 Flash, excuse me.
I felt like they were moving towards more realism, and then they turned back this time.
I mean, they
were going in a certain way, and then, like, they went, no, we're going to... kind of make it more cartoony. And the reason I think they did that is that running like the end game of Civ, when you've got 1 billion units and an entire huge map and there's 24 Civs and it's crazy, there's shit everywhere, that's hard to render on anything, like just
Total
the
War
amount
does
of
it.
Stuff.
Total War does
Total
it.
War does it. Not is really. It a little bit different? Maybe. Not.
But you think in 2016 we can do like 3 calculations
a
second?
What they want is a lot of people playing on laptops and a lot of people playing on every device that they can. So you don't necessarily want to like make that. It's a strategy game, not a fucking like first person.
Yeah,
strategy.
You should optimize frame rate for phones, you're saying, and not for PCs.
Yes, but I can understand why it's not that important to have like the top quality realistic graphics in a strategy board game.
Animation aside, are they dumbing down the actual gameplay to attract more people? Because
I'm not sure. I think in some ways it gets a bit more complex. We have more decisions that you can make, and there are some definite progressive moves where you've got, you know, different types of policies you can select with different cards, yeah, which is a positive change. But then on the other hand, they've got smaller tech trees, fewer technologies to research, and fewer different strategies one can ultimately take, because you're at war constantly because diplomacy is rooted.
I want to go for
a cultural victory, but everybody declared war on me because they didn't like the fact that I had more wonders than them.
Yeah, okay, so it has a mechanic of, like, we've always got to be changing and adding things to the player to make it interesting, or...
Yeah, I mean, you can make these things... You've got to find the right balance. I think for Civ, it's kind of like more one of these sort of introductory 4X type of strategy games where you're trying to attract sort of the person that sort of, like, would like to play a bit of a strategy game. It's got a very good vibe, but you could certainly take it on board.
Hey, everyone, Luke's out. Thanks, Luke, for coming on, man.
Thanks for your help this year. Luke, you disappointed me. My money was on you.
Thanks for losing, man. It was great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks
for meeting, guys.
See you, mate.
We'll see you next year, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Keep it real, Luke. Luke, I'll miss you, buddy. It meant a lot to me. I didn't bring you back. I didn't touch you.
We only provide quality on this podcast. Sorry.
I'll miss you, Luke. I miss your baby. Please call me back.
What's his last name, Corey? You don't even love him, do you?
Luke? His name's Luke. Luke Jr. His name's Luke Jr. Because he's so young.
Yeah, he's like a mini Mike.
What? Mini Mike? He's like a mini Mike without the moustache.
They're both
like
Ukrainian.
Less sarcasm.
They're actually both Ukrainian. That's why.
Do you know where that is,
Corey? More like your Ukrainian.
Oh, so that's why you're so passionate in the cold.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I got ice in my veins.
European?
Yes, Corey, I'm a European.
No, I meant, are you European?
Am I pan?
Are you pan?
Yeah.
Under this line of questioning he is. Yeah. Good thing he's wearing the beige trousers.
TV Dave, you're up next for your highlight of the year and your low light of the year.
So you sent me a text earlier in the week asking me for my best/worst game, and I took it literally.
Yes.
So I thought, what's my best worst game?
Yeah, right.
And I thought, what's my worst best game?
Worst best game, yeah.
And I've actually got two games for pretty much the same category. And that's the new Deus Ex and the new XCOM.
Do you mean Duet? Oh.
Well, you know, we had this disagreement earlier in the year, and I really don't care anymore.
Yeah.
So both of those games had really great lineage to come off, and both of those games... It sort of really let down in what they delivered. The first XCOM came out in January or early February this year, and it came off the first new XCOM, which everyone loved. Everyone was really happy with it. It was a simple system. XCOM 2 made that system look pretty. It looked great. It added a lot of stuff that was added in by modders to the new one.
Right.
But then it arsed up the spirit of the game and sort of what actually goes on in the game and the progression of your crew. And it's hollow. It's a hollow game.
Isn't the meme with XCOM 2 that you have a 99% chance of success and then it always fails?
Well, that's part of it, is that in the old XCOM you had missions where there were either terror missions or ship assault missions. And in both of those you can't really time out. You can fail to a certain degree, but you never, ever are forced to time out. Whereas in this one here, the focus is on you have a certain amount of turns to do most missions. And with one of the new expansions, they've added in different types of alien bosses which can appear randomly in your mission. Mm-hmm. And the way the mission turn timer works is that you pretty much have to rush the whole thing. And if you're unlucky enough to get one of these alien bosses in there, you're going to wipe the whole mission, basically. And you're probably going to wipe the whole mission anyway in some of the early games, just due to some of the randomness in it and some of the enemies there. The rest of it is great. The final mission is really cool and it is really tough if you're not prepared for it and if you haven't been playing properly for it. There would definitely be an XCOM, well, a new XCOM 3. Definitely. It's very much hinted of at the end of it, and people who've played the old XCOMs will know what I'm talking about. But that's the new XCOM 2, the new Deus Ex.
So it's Mankind Divided, yeah.
So the first one, was that your best worst game? Or the worst best game?
They're both the best worst games. They're both really good games, but they both are really let down by their gameplay.
Is Farmville your best game?
It's Farmville. I'm gonna do some doubling over a game that actually happened before. So hold on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen.
Because Farmville was a pretty good game.
Candy Crush.
I did spend some time on MS-DOS, so yeah. No.
Does a movie of a game count as
eBay.
A game?
eBay. Yeah, that's my favourite.
eBay. eBay the game. I just keep losing. I don't get it.
Tinder is your favourite.
Oh, no, Corey's just world champ. He's got the highest score in the world.
World champ Tinder.
The high score. No, I mean, Mankind Divided had similar problems in that the leveling system works fine, the environments are lovely, except you get sick and tired of Prague. And you sort of get throughout Prague being one of the main hubs. I'm just getting looks, ladies and gentlemen. Prague is the main hub for the whole game.
How long have you hated Prague for?
What do you got against that?
Yeah, what are you? In Penrith or something?
Mr. TV Dave, when will you stop dodging our questions about Prague?
Well, I think I'll revert to a previous joke that I used here. In fact, that I said that when Sarah Connor had been captured in Bali, I was worried that the
Skynet was active.
That Sarah Judgment Day had occurred.
Given that
I was coming back from outer Queensland into Penrith, I was pretty much assured that the Armageddon had happened.
So did you think that when Chappelle Corby got caught in Bali that would have been a good character in Terminator?
it would have been a
just
great
goes
one.
Around carrying a boogie board the entire time.
Like no, there's nothing in it.
There's a Terminator inside the boogie board, and it comes out, and it's really high.
So it's not made of metal. It's made of foam that they make.
Yeah. It's made of weed.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just want a nude army to go up to her and say, "Give me your boots, your clothes, and your bike." And just Arnie goes off on the boogie board.
Give me your boogie board.
Yeah, perfectly fine. I see no issues.
Let's go back to Prague.
No, well, I mean, I'm sick of Prague. I told you.
I'll never go back.
They teased Prague, and it seemed like that was going to be a cool place to start the game. But in all the GSX, you go through many.
There are about five train stations joined in Prague.
Yeah, and I've been to
various
Prague.
Parts of Prague, and that's essentially the whole part of the world.
So it's like the city circle line.
I've been to Prague, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah. So why does TV Dave hate it so much?
And
because he's uncultured.
I knew it.
I'm more of a Mediterranean type. You know, I'm all tanned and thin, and you know, it's Italian.
It's the city of a thousand spires. It's a very romantic city. If you ever want to
see it, is it the romantic city?
It's because Dave doesn't like romanticism.
Also, Czech women are really hot, and all the men are really ugly.
Oh, we finally got to the bottom over there.
Steve just wanted to say Czech women are hot.
So I guess if you played Tinder in Prague, it wouldn't be so boring.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Just saying.
Corey?
What the fuck?
I mean, do you think we could record a podcast on the road?
Out of town, like Prague special.
Well, you're saying go out to Penrith.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah,
do
Steve,
it at Penrith
Steve
Leagues
does that.
Club.
It's called Euro Truck Simulator, and you record.
We're gonna get there.
We're not allowed to talk about that game.
That's the best game and the worst game, like from Steve.
Just don't ruin it for everyone. Next,
we're cutting.
Other parts of the Deus Ex have put in one expansion, which is an add-on to their existing. I forget what the mode is called. The mode where you're in an all polygonal thing and you're inside a server like a real hacker.
Survival?
No, your breach mode.
Inside a server?
No, so they've added on an addition
Matrix.
To that. And it was so boring. Well, essentially it is the that's a good idea to think about it as a Matrix.
X-Men War Room.
No, I haven't seen whatever that movie is.
Oh, okay.
No.
I actually don't get that reference.
Well, like, no, I can't be bothered.
How come that
which movie
quiz?
Was it? I mean, I've
no,
seen...
They're war rooms, you know, like the Matrix where they practice and it's all made of holograms. I'm going to shut up now.
Yeah, maybe. But
I'm sure the listeners got that one. Don't worry.
It was maybe 5/8 of a game.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was 5/8 of a game. It didn't complete the story in any way.
And was there DLC reasons for that?
So there is DLC going to be coming out. It won't actually be about after the game. That seems like it'll happen in another game. This will be stuff that's linked to the current game or happens alongside. So who cares? What I will say my game of the year, probably the game that I got the most enjoyment out of was Dark Souls 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Contrary to Corey.
Yeah, no, and I think I was a bit surprised when you said you breezed through it because, like, that seems to me like you actually know how to play Dark Souls and you're actually quite good at it, whereas I know how to play it but I'm not good at it.
Corey's lying.
Yeah.
I'm good at a lot of things, Dave.
Oh, I thought so.
Have you played one and two Dark Souls?
Yeah, so I've
breezed through the quiz. I can't believe you. He
clearly plays everything on easy mode, so, you know.
We just all have to remember.
There's no easy mode in Dark Souls. You can't do that.
Just remember, I wasn't involved in the quiz.
Who was involved in the quiz?
Didn't you make the quiz up? Aren't the good questions are tailored to your tastes?
No, I tried to make them. Oh, because I got yelled at.
I'm actually wearing my Google glasses, and whenever he said the questions, it popped up in my little glasses for the answer.
Right.
So
you'd be wearing the Vive.
No, you're just a giant.
I'm actually wearing the Vive right
now.
You're
a giant nerd.
Did you
sell
the answers to pay the rent this month?
Not yet, but I'm going to buy it. So,
I bought Dark Souls 1 maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I think I'd ask Steve to play it with me when he's turned it on.
I did buy it. I did try it. And I did have DS Fix, and I did start a character, and I immediately was just like, "What?"
You got into the first part of the undead parish.
Yeah, after
the first dragon.
This is by myself, and like I was, and then I was like, "Hey, Dave, why do I suck at this game?" And he's like, "Everyone sucks at this game."
Everyone sucks. Yeah,
and I was like. Because
you
man.
Suck at everything, Steve.
I only do things I'm good at.
And even with walkthroughs, it took me quite a while to get past the sort of up to Sen's Fortress. And
what you said to me was, if you don't like it after like 6 or 8 hours, you won't like it at all.
Yeah, it's pretty much all the same thing. But I'm pretty much up to the what's the last boss in Dark Souls 1?
The Ashen One.
No, it's not the Ashen One. No, it's
he looks just
Lord, what's his name? Who's the kindler of the first flame?
Yeah, yeah. But he looks just like a normal knight, and he has all these different weapons. Well,
but I don't want to kill him because then I have to decide whether to start a new game plus in Dark Souls 1. So I'm fine with that. I can leave that there.
It's Gwyn, Lord of Cinder.
Yeah, Lord of Cinder. Lord Gwyn.
What's a Cinder?
Lord of Tinder.
Tinder. Cinder.
It's
Tinder.
Fire.
Dark Souls is all about fire.
Oh, okay.
Fire is an analogy for life or light.
Oh,
and there is lots
deep.
Of dark. But anyway, so going into Dark Souls 3, I knew how to play Dark Souls. So I'm like, okay, let's go. I wanted to play Dark Souls live with other people when it was first launched so I get a full Dark Souls experience where you get invaded and all that sort of shit. And it was obviously a lot simpler than the previous Dark Souls games. And it did seem to be maybe like 80%. There could have been an extra 20% at the end there. There wasn't as much progression, you could tell. You knew you had to defeat 4 bosses, but like it wasn't that sort of branchy type bosses where they actually had, you defeated this boss. No, it was more like, okay, all right, you're in the catacombs, keep going through the catacombs, do stuff, yeah.
Just to interject, I'll tell you like things that I've found, like not just the fact that I found it, saying I found it easier or quicker is unfair because it's a really hard game. But I did find it that I'd play and I'd just get really frustrated at certain parts that I found were unfair and I would jump away from that and go back to Doom. And in Doom, I would just smash through and you would feel like this sense of empowerment where you're just like smashing through these demons and you feel like you're just really like, you just feel like hyper-powered. And it's just really satisfying after you come from a game which essentially cock blocks you every single way, which just completely owns you at every corner, and then you leave it and then go to this other game and you just get free reign of mowing through.
It's fun.
Yeah,
which
it's
fun. And the fun in Dark Souls is, of course, you're progressing and understanding the patterns enough to progress.
Yeah.
Or getting a lucky enough pattern that you do, and there are things there that are set up to kill you if you're not paying attention or if you are paying attention and you haven't done it the first time. So
Is there still that multiplayer aspect where people can invade your game?
Yeah. So that PvP aspect still exists and it's good. I just found that, like, playing through it, the rewards were diminishing compared to, say, Dark Souls 1 and 2.
Right.
Maybe it's overarching. Yeah, like it's just the rewards of playing each one, like the rewards get less and less and the frustrations become more and more. That's personal experience. And I found that...
You had lots of shards left and lots of cures left, didn't you? Yeah, for everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt the sense of satisfaction just diminished. Whereas the sense of satisfaction of playing Doom was very high.
Much more, yeah.
But doesn't Doom feel a bit babied? Like, a lot of people have said it gets kind of ultra repetitive and not repetitive. It just becomes like,
they just throw another new big boss at you each level.
It happens in Dark Souls, you know, when you die against... Well, you die against the boss and you go through these same rooms again. You go, rooms again and not die. And on the Steam holiday sale, you need to rate the games. And I rated Dark Souls 3 as the game that made me cry.
Oh, right.
It is, look, I would say with Doom, it's a very tailored experience. I would argue that a lot of things come together in that game that make it work very well. Like music, I would say, is just as important in that game out of everything else. If you guys haven't listened to the Doom soundtrack, I highly recommend it. It's on Spotify.
Actually, just on the music thing, one of my favorite podcasts, Rebel FM, is some dudes from San Francisco. You should listen to them. They do a music special every year, in games, and their episode should be out in the next like kind of week or so. So if you only listen to one of their specials ever, the music special for the year is always the like awesome.
I wouldn't be surprised if they talked about Doom at all. Like it's incredible. Like that the music in Doom. It's very satisfying going through just owning a whole room of demons.
I think it's one best sound out of everyone that voted.
I would say that probably comes into, but I really like, he's big muso, so maybe that's where it comes into it as well. But yeah, sorry, I didn't want to take over TV Dave's thing, but yeah.
But you did anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nah, cool. That's fine.
So, So it was
I think that was it. Is it there's now I was surprised here the expansion is short, but that doesn't surprise me because there's at least another one coming out. I think one or two.
Expansions? Oh, there's two more. I think they plan 3 expansions per Dark Souls. I found the first expansion to be rather quick. Even though it was kind of cool, like the world that you went to was really really cool. But I think they've got two more, so I'm not going to judge it just yet. Maybe the expansions. Dark Souls 2, a lot of people were disappointed in, but they found the expansions to blow it away. Maybe these expansions will blow Dark Souls 3 away. So, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Maybe they'll just blow me.
Hey, Mike, you're up. Yeah. What was your most exciting game? What was the most interesting game for you this year?
I don't have a favorite game of the year.
Doesn't have to be a 2016 game.
I know.
What did you have?
I know.
No opinions on this podcast.
Yeah. Mike, I don't play games.
Yeah.
Nothing really kind of.
What about Mafia 3?
The game.
Oh, no.
The game is Michael Mafia 3.
I'll get into that. I've got worst games. You
know start with what you love.
Is your favorite game podcasting?
Actually, yeah, that's not a bad game.
His favorite game is the game he plays with my heart.
Oh, do I?
When are you going to return my calls, Michael?
When are you going to swipe
Corey, I hate you, but I still love you. I love you, but I hate you.
Get on with it.
I don't know. Okay, probably the game that I enjoyed most of this year was Total War Warhammer. But
CSGO.
The fact that this
CSGO.
Yeah, but I can't say CSGO because people
not?
Yell at me.
No, you totally can. If that was enjoyed the most. No,
is it just the skin roulette that you like? You don't even like the game, right?
No, I really like the game.
He's really good at it.
He just likes to gamble on the skins.
We started this podcast because Mike was wanting to become a competitive CSGO player.
Yeah, totally.
You want to make money to fund your CSGO.
I'm too old, though.
Gambling addiction.
I'm too old. I'm beyond that. My synapses have fired too
so
slow
now. You're past your late 20s.
If you're not famous by 40. And you're finished.
He's getting like RSI or whatever on his wrist.
No, I think it's 27 or 28 and you're down on in first person shooters.
You literally slow down, like your reaction's slow.
You can't compete against.
Is that a scientific fact?
Yeah.
So your reaction slow down as you get older.
Yeah.
Like
between 16 and 24,
you're past it.
Your ability to
to
react.
Over the hill. No competitive really gaming future for you.
Didn't impede me when I won Jeopardy before.
That's because you were playing against a 17-year-old.
How many?
I know.
How many Koreans are in the room?
Like? I saw you blaming your lag.
Yeah. Huh? Well,
how many Korean participants were there? None.
Yeah. I've actually got a phone call right now. They're asking me to join the esports team of Jeopardy. There's an esports team of Jeopardy. Oh, so you guys know.
You can join StarCraft too, but it's dying.
You're already signed to the Eternal Beta team, so
we don't have t-shirts, but they're coming.
Yeah,
we're on the Clan EB.
So Mike,
we don't have a sponsor.
I know
what
else is coming,
Mike.
Oh.
Total War.
I think Total War Warhammer is the one that I enjoyed the most. Yeah. But the fact that there's so many DLCs and they're so expensive makes it a negative as well.
Oh, okay, cool. But, I mean, you had the most fun playing that of all games you played this year.
Yeah, because I think it just worked really well with the Warhammer world and then bring it into Total War. It was finally something
that was
different.
It's a good match, right? Like, they kind of like is a match made in heaven.
Because I have to say, Empire, which was the one based on Colonial Wars, didn't work. Because standing there and firing is the most... You just fast forward through to it and go effing charge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Because they made it work within the Warhammer 40K.
No, they're just the fantasy world.
Sorry, with the Warhammer universe, because they actually had not everyone is based in a town, and you have the normal Total War style, I have these towns. You had dudes that would come in and raise them and raid around.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit, it mixed up the normal Total War universe.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, you couldn't just dominate everything. So like the dwarves could only hold towns in the mountains, whereas when they came down, they could just raid them and destroy the towns and the fields and the forest. But they couldn't hold them. They could only make encampments within the land, and then had to move on. The orcs were tribal, so they just came, tried to take as much as they could, but often would be fighting against everyone. Empire could only hold in the fields. They couldn't hold the strongholds in the mountains. And I played as vampire counts mainly, and they had this cool thing where they had to unconsecrate the ground, and they could only take over those lands. So otherwise your army would slowly start to die if it wasn't on consecrated grounds. But it made my victory land. It took me 300 turns to finish it because I had to slowly move my army on consecrated ground. Anyway, but what I wanted to get into was my worst game of the year.
Okay.
Because I think it was for the fact that No Man's Sky seems to dominate the worst game of the year. I think a lot of games actually got under the radar.
But it's because a little bit.
What, with the base building?
Yeah, apparently like there's more people playing it now. It's gotten up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I've a been, weird like, thing to add.
Right, the thing like they made Minecraft in No Man's Sky because everyone wanted that.
But a game that is purely like it's supposed to be an exploration game. Let's make a base that you've got to stick on one planet.
Yeah.
Why don't they make a capsule that attaches to your ship and then that's what you build?
Actually, I think there might be some ship-related thing in there now. Have you been following it?
No, not at all.
Yeah, right.
Well, if you wanted to build a ship out of Lego blocks, you can always play Robocraft.
True, you can. Yeah.
Or there's heaps of...
Or No Man's Sky. I hear that's
Master
good.
Master of Orion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. True.
Yeah.
Make your own ships. Eve. Eve Online.
Yeah.
Game of the year.
Yeah.
Believe even
you must construct more pylons.
So your worst.
Okay, so there's this general hatred of like everyone was like, well, at least this wasn't No Man's Sky. That's what everyone kept saying. But that meant like a lot of games that were crap got under the radar.
So
one for me is Mafia 3.
Yeah,
Mafia 3 was awful.
Grindfest, right?
It was like they took GTA 3 and went, "This is a game. We'll just add Mafia storyline."
I thought it was G2A.
Oh, we're not going to get over this again. I actually said it correct.
This is going to troll them. Watch
that was an eternal beta in joke, people.
But Mafia 3 was awful.
I heard it was repetitive.
Yeah, repetitive. Yeah. It had impossible walls that were like steps.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Bushes that you can't get through.
Yeah.
Locked off land, repetitive missions that make you go all over the map, oh, go over here. This is where the factory is.
Yeah.
And then come back. And then go back to the factory. And like...
I heard it also performed really badly on PC. Like, PC performance was pretty average.
It looked pretty not great.
Is it like all the shit missions of G2A, but we have, escort this vehicle, and here's the radio controlled plane.
The thing was, each section of the game just repeated the loop of, this guy, destroy them.
Oh. But it was
really bad.
Were things where, like, there were territories where you had to do damage in the entire territory, and, it was like you got to do $15,000 worth of damage. So you go to this factory and do it. And then there was like a main hub within that, which was the last where the boss would be. And essentially 90% of the time you would go and clear this factory and then they'd be like, okay, now go take out the boss. And you go back to the exact same factory. And the only difference now is there is a boss in there. And you're like, hang on, I just cleared this like 2 minutes ago.
I think they should have put in some more underwater escort missions.
Mm.
What's that from?
It's just like
Ninja Turtles, the damn mission.
Well, GTA 5 had one.
But
that was awesome.
No, it's just underwater missions are usually shit, and then escort missions where you've got to like either take someone with you as a character around, they're usually shit. Combine the two, you probably got a really good
game. There was a lot of driving around for no apparent reason.
Are there any underwater missions in Mafia? Do you throw anyone off a pier or kill
some alligators?
You attach some cement shoes to somebody.
There is the first thing you actually do is you take a dead body and chuck it into a tank full of crocodiles.
And you reckon it's fair a enough. Shit game. That's the first thing. Awesome.
No, that's the first thing you do. That's awesome. Yeah, that is the highlight of the game.
How was the world, but?
Oh, it you know, it's kind of original because it's finally not New York or L.A.
Yeah, because I heard that that was the most amazing part. The music, the immersion into the world, the vibe of New Orleans.
Yeah.
Or in Western Sydney in Penrith.
TV Day would hate it. He just hates Prague people. He's just racist against just Prague. Like, just Prague. Yeah.
Just Czech.
Bohemians. Other Czech cities, no problem at all.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Just Prague. Are you from Prague? Go fuck yourself.
Exactly. Particularly if you're an augmented human in Prague, you're in trouble.
No,
the music is awesome in it, but it's highly repetitive.
Have you played Watch Dogs 2?
No, but...
No.
So my game of the year, the game I had most fun with...
Are we restarting? I thought they were still...
We're still going. We never stopped.
Okay.
Keep eating. But get the mic near you if you could. Not while you're eating, right, but obviously...
Nom nom, such delicious food. Nom nom.
I'm gonna spit out the pizza while Steve regales us with like the shocking
Truck Simulator
game.
Oh,
well, speaking of Euro Truck Simulator too. I played a lot of games this year.
Hooray!
I really enjoyed a lot of games this year. This was a tough call, and
one of those Japanese porno games.
No, that's Corey's domain.
Hentai.
Assetto Corsa took my most fun game of the year title. That is one heck of a fucking racing sim. I'm not even a racing sim guy, as I've said before. Like, it's called Assetto Corsa. It's Italian for racing setup. And essentially, it's a 30-man like team called Kunos Simulazani something. I don't know, Simulation some shit. I can't even pronounce it. And they put out this thing. It's like they accurately fucking modeled the like in the most amazing way. Like every part of all these cars that they put in the game, laser scanned all these real tracks around the world. Like, you know, the biggest tracks, and they built their game up in like a really sensible way with decent like DLC packs that had, you know, a decent amount of content. Like there'd be a track and like 3 to 6 cars. Like in a pack for $5, kind of thing, and like, you know, and they did that in the what the community wanted as it kind of went on, and they now just got the Porsche license, which is the first time anyone's been able to get it because EA had an exclusivity contract for 10 years on Porsche. That's why you haven't seen Porsche in games for quite a while, probably since Need for Speed like a few years
back.
Yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 years ago was the last time there was a Porsche game. Ruff kind of became the brand that. Looks just like Porsche, and that became really popular in games to have. Yeah?
Gran Turismo.
Yeah, exactly. So fuck EA again for that. Yet another dodgy business practice. The reason that this game is so thrilling is it's the most like visceral driving thing I've ever done. Like I've, you know, played the arcade games at Time Zone and Daytona, like all the arcade kind of sim things. I used to play a lot of sim driving when I was young, like on the PC, but obviously, like, you know, test drives,
Hot Pursuit.
There was like fucking heaps of ancient PC games. This is like, if you want to actually get behind the wheel of some sort of like dream car and drive it around like a real world track. You will not have any experience more close to like real life than this. Put on pro, fucking manual everything, and like you feel
traffic?
There's no traffic, unfortunately. That's more of a Euro Truck Simulator thing.
What if I just want to farm in a ville?
Yeah, that'd be Facebook, which I'm no longer part of it. Yeah,
you can do that in Stardew Valley.
Put on anti-aliasing on that game. Have yourself a whale of a time.
Well, speaking of anti-aliasing, that is one of the things I just literally kind of like solved with the set of course. So it's not it doesn't have great anti-aliasing.
I'm pro-aliasing.
You're pro-aliasing. Yeah. You're like more of an aliasing fan than
what is aliasing?
Jennifer Garner, she was hot.
I was very pro.
Yeah, I was pro-alias when she
what
was. I think Ben Affleck's made a terrible decision.
Banging the nanny. Yeah. Oof.
What?
That was a bad plan.
It wasn't just
the nanny, it was the nanny from the TV show.
Ben Affleck made a bad
decision
with what?
He cheated on Jennifer Garner.
Did he actually cheat on her?
I think he banged the nanny.
This is what the gossip pages were.
Wasn't it? I don't know. I don't care.
But now he's Batman.
And his nanny, he's Batman.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's why you can treat your wife like shit.
Maybe that's what Gone Girl's about.
You've never seen it?
I've seen it.
Gone Girl. Gone Girl's excellent. I saw that.
Yeah. One of my films of the year.
Gone Girl's about my single life.
Coming up next, the Eternal Beta movies cast.
Dark.
We have opinions on things other than video games.
So, Steve, Assetto Corsa, was that the one, correct me if I'm wrong, they scanned Bathurst as well?
No, someone built Bathurst as a... because the other thing is, like, the whole racing sim community, which a lot of them play online, play iRacing, whatever, like, the game they can get closest to reality with their wheel setups and everything. They've added so much to the game if you want to go that route of modding. There's a billion mods out there for it. But nothing comes close to the real versions put out by, or like, you know, the official versions that they've put out. I did put that in. Corey, you out?
I'm gonna go.
Yeah, cool, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Thanks
Happy...
for making Eternal Beta
Woo!
Again.
Turn it into Eternal Alpha. Yeah.
Eternal Gamma, motherfucker.
I hope you can come back on next year or when we come back.
I just want to thank Steve and Mike for having me on. I think it's been a great show. I can't believe I won either, Michael. Thank you. Can we all remind everyone in the audience that I won this?
I think you won.
I let him win.
Yeah. I won, and I got pizza, and I got a Steam card, $50. But you know what I really won, guys? I won friends.
Yeah.
Corey's out.
Now we can talk shit about him.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably my most fun. That was the most fun I had with the game, only because it was. So, such a visceral experience. Like,
it sounds like
accelerating.
It was unexpected fun. You didn't expect
like
to have
Project
fun
Cars,
with a car game.
Yeah, Project Cars was huge. I know like a lot of people were into that. I tried The Crew because on another recommendation from old mate Dom, Sup Domi, and he loved that game and he loved it to his core and recommended it super highly, and I hated it. I didn't like going online into an MMO driving world because I never got to crew up with anyone. Maybe it would have been more fun if I'd like had other people playing an MMO driving game.
Is it like Fast and Furious?
Yeah, you're essentially in like an open world America. It's modeled really nicely, like all the locations across the states. Dave, maybe you could play it before you go there.
Ooh, exciting.
Or not. And then you start, and there's a cool storyline thread through The Crew about your brother being entangled in like a, you know, illegal dodgy shit. And
is this Fast and the Furious the game?
Yeah, kind of, but it's done in an okay way. I wasn't turned
Neither
off
fast
by
nor
that
stride.
Driving around is cool. However, originally 30 frames per second cap, they upped it to 60.
I thought the human eye could only see 30 frames
24,
a second.
24, 25.
No, that's enough for it to be convinced that there's motion. That's a different thing. 24 frames is the minimum that you need to be able to experience emotion. But nice trolling.
We're trolling. Eternal trolling podcast.
Yeah. So ask Mike with his 144 hertz monitor why you need more. Anyway, The Crew just is a letdown. It's probably my vote for the least fun.
So that's your least fun game.
Yeah.
I thought you would have had a few other contenders.
No, I thought long
game.
And hard. And like there was a lot of games that I played that I...
You hated on No Man's Sky a lot.
I didn't play that, though.
But you still hated on it a lot.
Yeah, that was fun to hate on No Man's
Sky. But
can't
you hate on, like, an EA game or, like, something...
Like
you thought it would be something like...
You'd have to buy an EA game before you have to hate on it, so...
Yeah, Battlefield 1 for me, like, so far has been, like, a really amazing fucking experience. And whenever I play it, there's always two or three or four of us on.
But that's why it's amazing.
No, it's not, because I play other games with two or three, four people. It's
Dirty
not that amazing.
Wasn't your number one
no.
game of the year.
See, I was going to say Dirty Bomb, but the thing that took it away...
Revealing to us that you don't like Dirty Bomb seems a bit ingenuine.
Dirty Bomb allows you to, like, a really, really close experience at competitive like shooting in an action way, where I think Counter-Strike kind of gives you a strategic way of gunfighting.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Like, you know, you have to position yourself right, you have to be really aware of where everyone else is, and it's a strat kind of game. Whereas Dirty Bomb is more of an action game where you're involved.
Tactical versus strategic.
And there still is strategy. Like, there's still strategy in Dirty Bomb. It's just much less defined.
Usually involves Steve yelling at everyone telling
them to do their
job. A lot
more random.
why are you so shit at this game?
Well, for a start with, like, most of the people don't really understand what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
whereas
that is true.
In Counter-Strike, those roles are really quite defined, I think.
It's just
No, the ball just
rolls.
Yeah, you just go and defend here.
There are in the professional. Yeah,
That's what I mean. Like, there's ways to play it in a certain way that can even be effective. Those aren't really clear in Dirty Bomb yet. Like, why you should do any certain particular thing, or why, like, a lot of people don't understand what, like, their character yet, and they don't really know why they're playing their character. They can't even fucking drop ammo, for fuck's sake.
You know, like dating sites, when they're free, they attract all sorts of losers.
True, that's true.
The same thing with Dirty Bomb.
That's true. And that's why I'm not really, like, willing to say it was my favorite game of the year, because or the game I had the most fun with, because even though I had a lot of fun with it, it just didn't do a thing that I hadn't already experienced. It just did a thing that I liked in a good way. And so it's fun, but it's not there yet. And it probably won't be there yet till they go official and they try and make something out of the game, you know?
You might argue it's the best value game you play.
Oh, it's free to play.
Well, that's what I mean.
I got a lot of hours out of it for sure. But I said, of course, the top set for me, the crew sucked. A close third for me, just to jump in and keep going, is Rocket League. Rocket League, I've only owned for a short amount of time.
Oh, you actually bought Rocket League?
It's fucking fun. Like, if anyone buys that game and says they don't like it, I'll hate them forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just impossible to hate a game that is that immediately satisfying. And, like, you can see immediately what you're supposed to do. And even if you can't do it, it's fun to try. And no one cares if you're not good at it. And, like, I mean, some people do.
Well, some people.
I don't know about that.
But you can easily weed out those people by playing the game modes that you like and being competitive if you want to be competitive, and not if you're not, you know? And it kind of fosters this, like, cool cultural, like, experience of playing the game, like, with the quick chat options and stuff. Like, it always seems friendly and it's fun. Games are reasonably short, like, you know, 3 minutes to 10 minutes.
Literally 3-4 minutes.
It's great. And then you just jump straight into the next one. It takes, like, maybe a minute between the games. Like, you can easily just kick back out anytime you want. It's the kind of game you boot up for, like, 3 or 4 like kind of minutes at a time and play a quick game and go, that was really fun, back to what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have a lot of games like that anymore. Like, there's ones that you can just turn on, play, turn off.
Short attention span.
When did Rocket League fillers launch? Was it 2015, wasn't it? Mm. I feel like it was last year.
Feel like it, yeah. I think that is.
Like early last year.
Yeah. But he's bought it this year, so I think that counts.
Yeah, it was July 2015.
Right.
But I literally only just bought it.
What you had the most fun with this year.
Oh, yeah, right. I realised that. I was just wondering when it actually came out.
Speaking of buying things this year, you know, my favourite game is MDK. Yeah.
MDK, yeah. MDK is
Super Mario
Bros. Game.
3. I mean, shit.
Zelda Link Between Worlds for me, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what about any indie games that people liked a lot? Like, because I know we talked about some of these, like, high-end shit, but I really like RimWorld. I don't know if anybody's played that. It was the sort of fortress style indie game.
Was that the one where you had to kind of control your or influence your little, like, township?
You kind of crash landed on a
oh,
planet,
that's right.
And then
yeah,
you're sort of like survival against not only the wilderness but invading pirates. It's a very much a dwarf fortress style game, but it has graphics that look like Prison Architect if you've played that at all. So,
yes, I have seen this one because so you land on there and then everything bad happens to your crew.
Yeah.
So instead of there's a similar game where that happens on a spaceship and you have to do the same thing. This is when you're on land and you have to gather food and so on and so forth.
I highly it's still in alpha and it's been in alpha for about 3 years. So you know that it's sort of like it's been developed and there's quite a few mods that people have made for it.
That's not a bad thing though. Like,
no, I reckon
it's great.
I reckon it's actually a lot of fun and, you know, there's like you do mining and crafting to build your base and everything and then you get invaded and you can trade goods and so on. It's a definitely worth checking out for me.
I think, like, I know we're not basing it purely on 2016, but I think the indie 2016 game of the year was Darkest Dungeon, I believe. That's the one that a lot of people are picking. That's that.
Yeah. I think Darkest Dungeon, it's good for what it is. I quite like Darkest Dungeon as far as the aesthetics go.
How far did you get into it? What's your highest level character?
It kind of shat me after a while, you know, like, oh, well, you know, we've got to do the same grind. Like, it is a little bit too repetitive for my mind.
It's the same thing that I did. I've got characters at level 3. I think I've got a good party at level 3, a good party and a half at level 3, and it's just that, oh, yet another mission to go through. Mm. Oh, look, there's a stress attack. Yeah, oh, this is dull. This annoys me.
Your characters become unusable and then go home. Get new characters and level them up and so on. And that's not to say that it's a terrible game, but I think that's definitely it's a different style game, like a Cthulhu kind of.
I can see you as a detail man really liking that game a lot more than me, because there is, whilst it's not a complicated amount of detail, you need to go through and make sure all of your heroes have the right skills and then the right perks and not the wrong bad perks.
There's a certain style of gameplay that people like. It's just called min-maxing, which is basically like, you want to really extract every ounce of value out of every particular move that you make. And it's very common in strategy games. And, you know, the game itself becomes work.
An RPG game.
And RPG games, I agree. Like, so it, some type of people, you know, like I say, they will want to make the right move every time they make a move. And, you know, they'll try and undo shit if they did the wrong move at the same time.
It's like a chess player mentality.
Well, it's strategy games. It's like, you know, there's often the right set of moves that you can make. I mean, sometimes it gets a little bit hidden by all the other actions that you're taking. But, I mean, you know, they try and introduce some RNG and RNGs, as they like to call it, to make these things happen.
Mm.
But, you know, they're definitely worth checking out. I'd recommend having a look at RimWorld if you haven't seen it yet. Did you play Prison Architect?
No. I've got
a copy of Prison Architect if people want to email in or people want to let me know. But, I mean, even, Prison Architect, that officially was released this year, I believe.
Yeah, it's followed a similar development path to RimWorld.
I think actually RimWorld was a different company, but because it looks the same, you go, oh, that's Prison Architect, but it's actually a different developer.
It's a different developer. Yeah. They shared resources.
That might be right. That rings a bell.
What about, sorry, did you want to talk more about
that? No. Prison Architect.
Firewatch? You played Firewatch.
Yeah, Mike. I bought it, the $30 version.
Yeah, right.
It was awful. It was such a letdown. I don't know why.
But was it an interesting experience while you were playing it?
No. It was a boring. It's a walking sim.
Yeah.
And it's like this thing of like, you know, so it's all like everyone's like, but the story. I don't want to give it away, but the kind of path you think it's going down, it totally just goes, nah. And so you're like,
it's like him not showing my la-la-la ding-dong.
No, it's not even, like, yeah, but then you realise it was just written by, you know, Shakespeare.
An undergraduate English major.
Who thinks this would be good for a twist now?
No, it's not
what
even
if it
that.
Turns out that you are the man of the year?
You are the fire, yes.
And just, Trump is actually president.
That's happening. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's 2016.
And the Cubs won the World Series. Yeah.
And it had all these crazy mechanics in it. Like, you got a Polaroid. I don't know why everyone's going crazy for Polaroid cameras. But you have a camera.
Can't they have, like, an iPhone or something?
Well, no. Very hipster. It's supposed to be like, oh, we found this. So you can only take 16 photos. And they had this mechanic of, at the end of the...
Can you have an iPhone with, like, a 16-gig hard drive?
It's called the mobile phone. Nintendo NX.
Yeah.
Well, you get the Polaroid in the game and you can only take 24 photos, but at the end of the game, it then gives you this option of like, oh, do you want to pay $30 plus $20 shipping and we'll send you actual printouts of your photos took in game.
And but what do you say, no?
I said no, but people have done it. And said it's the biggest
$20 shipping for 16 photos.
I don't know. I can't remember exactly what the pricing was. But it was something like $50, $75 US.
Perhaps we should kick off the new year next year when we return with maybe like I was thinking a year in review episode.
I thought there'd be like relegation from this podcast, like in the Premier League.
There possibly might be, yeah. We might have to.
Somebody's banned from the podcast.
We might have to get rid of a few people, get some new people in. We'll see how that goes. Yeah.
I vote Corey.
Yeah, we'll see what the Twitter polls say, you know. We've only done one so far, so it's pretty conclusive.
So what do you think of 2016 as far as gaming goes? I was wondering...
Yeah, let's wrap this
are
up.
Are there any trends that you have particularly liked or not liked? It seems like you've been fairly down on things like microtransactions and, you know, DLC and early
season
access
passes
and Kickstartering and pretty much most of the things the company seem to be doing in gaming this year.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because you, you know... don't like change or you think that they're all bad for the customer?
I just think all of those things you mentioned, that, or the things that we've mentioned over this year that we don't like, have been marketing strategies, basically. Not funding, so much funding models. They've been...
Well, certainly you could argue that they are funding in some ways. Well, like, of course... releasing games too early, day one patches, you know, they're driven by budgeting decisions.
Of course. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be budgeting decisions. I just think that there's clear examples of companies who do things the right way or in sustainable ways. And then there's these cheap thrill, like trying to get, you know, trying to rape the fucking wallets of the consumer. And I don't appreciate that. And I think people should speak up about that. And make hard decisions about the games that they're playing and the games that they're purchasing.
I know you've arced up against things like season passes, and I mean,
well, no, multi-year season passes was the thing I was most recently.
But what's the?
It's getting worse.
Chapters based.
Yeah, so like Hitman did that, and I'm surprised you didn't bring up Hitman. Actually,
apparently Hitman.
I didn't play it. Yeah.
Apparently, like, you know, it's. It's like instead of buying the whole game, you buy the game in blocks rather than buying the game at once.
But if you buy the whole game, it's $80. If you buy each chapter, it was $8. I don't know. I can't remember what it was.
I think they're releasing the first one for free in the same way they did with Life is Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so they're all out now, right?
Yeah, they're out. So the first season's done.
But it sounds like people, they must think that customers are constrained in some ways by liquidity or, you know, it's a...
I think the thing,
like, people might treat $8 purchase very differently from a $60 purchase.
Yeah, I mean, and the IGN guys talked about this on their most recent podcast, and they were saying
they don't know shit.
They don't, but
they also don't pay.
Just kidding. Love those guys.
They get paid by these game developers. We don't.
The argument was put though was one played it as it came out, and the other played it after they'd all been out, and playing it in a kind of in the release, chapters in the chapters method meant that you played the one chapter you had, like the newest one, a few times and tried it different ways and kind of, you know, you like got a bit more length out of it. Then when you played it all together, you just went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it was over.
The same way.
Yeah, and so maybe the episodic thing kind of made sense for that game.
Yeah, you're drip feeding people. Yeah. Sort of. It's like, and when you get XP and you level up, you get a new chapter, right?
See, I get the idea if you're an indie and you want to, you know, you don't have the money to make an entire game, but you want to make a bit of almost like a vertical slice in a way, your first iteration of your game. And if it's successful, you'll keep making more.
Yeah.
But if you promise that you're going to make 5 and you only get enough money to make 1 and you don't make the rest or something, you know, like, that's just setting yourself up for failure and letting down the consumer.
Is that what's happening, though? I mean, don't you think it's, like, from the developer's end, isn't it better if they release what they've got when they finish it?
Yes,
you know?
So
you
get always, it earlier than always.
You would otherwise.
Look at Rockstar. Look at Rockstar. Like, they only release their games when they're finished, Valve. And always what they put out is revered and renowned because they're fucking awesome games. Now, they can afford to do that. That's another thing that comes into play here. But the reason they can afford to is because they've built a lot of software that works well and, like, is was successful in its own right, and now they've built up that ability to do that. So people trying to skip ahead in the queue and just come out with, oh, we built this amazing promise of a game, and then actually what we're delivering is not that, and then we're going to try and make it that after you've already bought it, and then we'll never really get there, but you'll feel, like, good about... I don't know. I hate that shit.
Is that like Valve having enough money to spend 5 years on getting Gordon Freeman's footsteps to work correctly before they release Half-Life 3?
I hope so. Did you just confirm Half-Life 3?
Half-Life 3 confirmed, yeah.
I was talking to Gabe earlier today.
Yeah. So, ideas for the show next year. Anyone got any thoughts on that?
Yes.
More Jeopardy.
Good.
Jeopardy. I had a few ideas for the show. I think it would be good if we, focused on one game that we all played during the week and we all gave our sort of hot take on that game at the end of the week. Like, we all just play the game during the week and say, I thought it was shit, I hated playing with you guys, especially.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just like bring it, you know, kind of like fisticuffs
that,
and
that might
know,
be good just swearing. To sort of say. But I definitely like the focus on, you know, because what happens with all these other idiot excellent game shows is that excellent podcasts is that they talk about what just got released, but we talk about whatever we want to talk about it, and
fucking oath.
We add a bit of shit to
Aussie
the talk.
Flair.
Yeah, like yeah. You're not getting this shit from fucking IGN.
Yeah, we're not getting paid to be here. We have no credentials whatsoever. We just like
you don't
podcasting.
What do you mean we don't have credentials? We're probably better educated than the people on IGN.
Oh, education level has nothing to do with it.
We are the gamer generation.
Yeah. That's true.
We'll have the best edumacation.
Yeah.
All the edumacation.
And we have beer.
Yeah.
More listen. Beer. That's what I would say would make better podcasts.
Mike, what did you like about the podcast that we created this year the most?
Just talking shit about games. Yeah. But I like talking indie games. I like those indie smaller games rather than AAA titles. So
you like talking about the way we talked about
I
them?
I just like hearing about what other people are playing. Yep. And then
the games you hadn't heard of in the mainstream. Yeah.
Because and also just the fact that you hear it from the horse's mouth before you even buy it, because Steam reviews don't really tell you anything. They're usually best game ever or go kill yourself, the developers. That's usually the general view on Steam.
Andrew, you've expressed your interest.
I had thought, you know, it's actually pretty unique under what you know, from starting from scratch, and you know, we've got a lot of great content this year. I mean, the podcast is
it's a good year to do it.
It's better than most of the other podcasts. I mean, I don't know.
All right.
I listen to a lot of other gaming podcasts because they're all full of assholes that think they know everything.
Hey, I don't agree with that.
Hey, but
the reason I started
this is our podcast that we're assholes and we all think we know
that's
everything.
Right. So, we're equally assholeish.
We're the only good assholes out there. But
hey. I started this podcast because I loved listening to a couple of Aussie podcasts about games so much.
But their opinions were wrong, weren't they?
No, I just thought there should be more of it, and there should be more discussion, and there should be represented from different angles. You know, I think there's enough official, like, you know, media journalism based kind of podcasting. There's enough developer-based podcasting. I don't think there's enough average gamer people who like enjoy the shit out of playing games podcasting, so that's what we're here to do, or we should at least try to. What do you think, Dave? What was your favourite part of our podcast for the year in terms of how we approach it?
Yes.
Correct. Well, thanks everyone for joining us on the 2016 iteration of Eternal Beta, the podcast that will never, ever be complete or finished in any way, shape, or form. So we look forward to coming back next year with a bit of a different look, you know, maybe some new faces. If you want to get in touch or if you have any ideas or you thought this was offensive somehow and would like to complain, go fuck yourself.
Call my mum. She'll be grateful for your call.
Dave's mum is lonely.
No. She
can cook, though.
No, you just don't want to go there.
She's a hell of a cook. We'll see you next year.
Out.
Sapo is like you're a male who identifies as a male attracted to females. So essentially you're straight, but you can't say that anymore.
You cisgendered fuckwit.
What's this cyst is?
You identify
cis
with what you're meant
non,
to.
Non-anything up there. Yeah, you're straight. Sadly.
And then
I would have guessed otherwise.
There's a whole bunch. There's 37.
37?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many were made in the last year?
Oh, do you really want to go there, Luke?
Are we getting this comedy gold for the end of the episode? Steve, what are you doing?
Oh.
He's getting nervous. Not you, because you're not fucking recording yet. Sorry, guys.
Well, that's even better. We'll just have cheap shots at him and he can't
is
respond.
Is that Pete?
We're just using the stand function, because it doesn't have an XLR hole.
Do you want me just to hold up? No, I figured it out.
Let's see.
And Ulysses didn't leave the power cord.
You want me to be near it because of the short wheel on it.
Luke, we can be honest. You're here just to try and win the prize. Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm here.
So, Corey.
Game's over, I'm gone.
Yeah, wait. Keep talking?
Yeah, hey,
hang
on.
Okay.
This is a shit.
So that's how loud you need me to speak.
Full of shit people.
Okay, do you reckon I should keep any of the stuff we just recorded?
I don't know. Ah, look.